103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. We're at 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Brian and Peter. Good afternoon. Coming up on today's programme, we've got a great interview with Jones's Garden Centre. But before that, we'd like to go to the mailbox and see if we have anything in to tell you this week. We do, and it's dates for your diary, next year's diary. Sunday, the 27th of April 2014, Ennis, County Clare, the Clare Garden Festival. For more details on this, check out carmencronin.ie, carmencronin.ie. Also, Carmen tells us that the monthly village market is launching in Clare Castle on Sunday the 3rd of November 2013 from 9:30 to 1 p.m. That's at Abbey Hall in Clare Castle. As I say, you can get all the details on this at carmencronin.ie. And thanks for sending that in. If you've got anything for The Sod Show, just get it into the mailbox via Twitter at Sod Show, on Facebook The Sod Show, email info@sodshow.com, and you can also check out the blog sodshow.com. It's got all the back catalogue. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Let's go to today's interview, and Peter Donegan is talking to Carl Jones of Jones Garden Centre.
103.2 Dublin City FM on Ireland's Best Podcast 2012. In my company, no stranger to me, a gentleman who I have known for some time now, Carl Jones. Carl, how are you?
Hey, Peter, how are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Carl, the business is Jones's Garden Centre. You're just off the M1 Donabate turnoff.
Yeah, exit 4 off the M1, Peter. Yeah, you follow the signs for Donabate. We're just off the main Donabate roundabout there, Donabate Lusk Skerries roundabout.
Sign for a cafe I saw.
New sign for a cafe, yeah. Our business was started a number of many years ago by my mother and father, and my mother sadly passed away in March.
God bless, didn't know.
And we've opened a new restaurant in her honour, the name Mrs. Jones's Farm Kitchen. So my wife has taken the reins in that, Sarah. So she is the Mrs. Jones in Mrs. Jones's Farm Kitchen now, but it's unfortunately named after my mum, but such is life, Peter. But it's been a great addition to our business. At the moment, we started Pick Your Own Fruit back in the 70s, around 76, 77, my mother and father started doing pick-your-own strawberry drives. We're very well known. We're still getting calls today looking for that service. But unfortunately, we grew the fruit in the same ground for 20-odd years, and the ground just got tired of growing fruit, so it needs a good, strong rest. We might look at going back at it someday, but just not yet.
Bring me all the way back, if you can, Carl, to when your mom and dad started the business. Do you remember the day your mom or your dad turned around to one or the other and said, "I have a cunning plan, Baldrick. Here's what we're going to do"?
Unfortunately, now, I just wasn't involved in that conversation. I was probably in school or somewhere along those lines. My grandfather originally bought the farm in 53. My dad was a farmer with his brothers, some of them are still involved in farming. And my dad decided to, he was looking, we hadn't got a huge hole in it. I've got a huge hole in there. So my dad looked at diversifying into some different types of growing, and he went the way of strawberries and raspberries and gooseberries and that. And we used to, where the garden centre, on the site, the exact site where the garden centre is now, Peter, you'll know well, my dad used to grow strawberries there. And what happened was, my dad used to pick the fruit. I was only in the pram at the time, and he'd pick the fruit, and one of the ladies who used to mind me would sell it on the side of the road. So that's where we started. Then people wanted to come in and pick their own fruit. So they'd come in then and pick their own fruit, and we used to weigh it in the shop, and then we started selling associated products that we were growing ourselves, the likes of lettuce and cabbage and broccoli and cauliflowers and potatoes, all our own stuff in our farm shop. People started coming in and saying, "Would you not sell some bedding plants?" Then we went from bedding plants, then we put up a small polythene tunnel. And this all started about the early 70s, early to mid 70s we started doing the fruit. Pick Your Own started about 77. We first started selling bedding plants and that in around 93, 94. Just outside the front of the shop. Then 95, we built a polytunnel to start our first small garden centre, and it evolved from that to last year, or till 2010, 2011, when we built the existing new building we have, which is a climate controlled. It's a glasshouse from Holland, which you can see in all the pictures, but it's a state-of-the-art garden centre, and we added the restaurant on then this year as well.
Can we sidetrack slightly off, Carl, because as I remember when I lived over the south side in Clondalkin, I remember Newlands Garden Centre, another garden centre, and it was very much out the back of our house, and then all of a sudden around about, was it maybe the late 90s, garden centres started to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and they started to do Christmas shops, and the cafes came in, and the garden furniture, and like they really have changed. I mean, how is the garden centre trade in Ireland, and maybe if you can go back from 2010 to 2000 to 1990 to 1980, how has it evolved coming from there forward?
Well, the way it's evolved really is garden centres, a lot of them popped up. Like you say, Mike and Phil Dev, two lovely people, very good friends of ours, who have Newlands Garden Centre. Started at the back of people's houses, and then as business evolved, they get bigger and bigger, and people get to know you more, and they come and you widen. People come in, like we started off with bedding plants, then people wanted bags of compost, then they wanted containers. So that's how we evolved, was starting with bedding plants. And people said, well, you're selling the bedding plants, would you not sell the compost to go with it? We've all heard of selling the sizzle with the sausage, so that's where it goes. So then we had to employ people to work for us. So garden centre, with it being so seasonal, selling plants, you bring people in for 3 months of the year. What do you do for the rest of the year? Like, we were lucky at the start. We have a guy who works for us, who came to us in 1994 to cook cabbage. And he's now one of our main guys involved in the garden centre. He stayed with us for so long. But it's to keep these good guys, we needed to diversify. That's when you start bringing in your Christmas and your Halloween shop. We would have been well known for Halloween shop in our old building. It was hard to create that team in the new building. Still runs very, very well for us. We would have our biggest, largest display of Halloween in Dublin. But it's just, it evolved from that. And then once you have the site, we built this lovely big glasshouse. But what we needed was people coming in then, can we get a cup of tea or coffee? So where do we go? And we went through the planning process, and we now sell tea and coffee, and you can get your lunch. We start off in the morning with breakfast in the morning from 9 o'clock. Homemade scones, homemade cakes and tarts and all that type of stuff. Teas, coffees. Then you go to your lunch. We'll have two or three hot options. We'll have four or five sandwich options, salads and cold meat plates, all that type of stuff. Into your teas and coffees and your cakes for the afternoon. And we close, our last orders are 5:30. We close at 6 o'clock at the same time the garden centre closes. But the whole thing evolves. Where will it be in 10 years time? I couldn't tell you. Hopefully doing what we do, hopefully get my kids involved. My eldest daughter Katie has just started senior school this year. Saoirse is in fifth class now, and CJ is just started junior infants this year. So hopefully they'll come involved, because as I say, I'm third generation farming on the land, or not farming, I'm working on the site. I'd be hoping to get them involved then, and their kids hopefully after that.
In the landscaping business, we would have had, I've always called it the log roll epidemic of the 1980s. We then proceeded to the cobble lock pandemic of the 90s. We then went to the decking pandemic again. We came into the grow your own bit. Was there a bit when grow your own started that you turned around and went, you bastards? I mean, because the big gardening bits that were taking place of people going out and spending 100 grand on a garden, that stopped. The bit where people tried to replicate that maybe by themselves would have been something where it would have gone to yours. But did the grow your own craze, has it flittered out? Has it come to its peak? Is it on the decline? Did it affect you?
Did it affect us? It was great for us when it started, because people, during the boom times, everybody wanted to try and grow their own. And I said, this is going to be great, because for years we were growers and people were coming into us, and you'll always get people knocking you for this is not as good as that and blah blah, and you see the supermarkets, everybody wants perfect shape of data, you know, they won't take stuff that's dirty. And I was rubbing my hands saying, now see how hard it is to grow your own stuff, because everybody thinks it's simple, you sow a seed and away it goes, but there is a bit of an act to it, you know, it does take time. And we sold more equipment for people to go and grow their own stuff, seeds and that comes with it. And it was great for us business-wise. We tried to give people as much help as we can, because we were growers, and a lot of the lads working for me would have experience in growing their own stuff. And we tried to help people. We have a lot of allotments around us. We tried to help people with it. But you only help people so much, and it has died off dramatically in the last couple of years, that people have tried it, hadn't had good success, and just parted to one side, like everything else. There is still some really, really good growers. We have allotments down here next to us in Newbridge Park, and you go and you'll see a stunning allotment next to a pile of weeds that somebody can't handle it, you know. But we try to help people going along and trying to give them as much tips and advice as we can. Peter, you know yourself, it's not easy. and to try and educate people about rotation and that type of stuff, because people come to us and say, oh, why aren't you growing stuff anymore, why aren't you growing the fruit anymore, we love coming out here, and I come out here with my mother and my grandmother to pick fruit, and why can't you do it anymore? And I'd say, well, listen, we'll sell you strawberry plants, we'll sell you raspberry plants, go and do it yourself, you can do container gardening, you can do all this type of stuff. And it is hard, because people, if they're not educated properly, we're going to start now in the new year, and I'm looking for your help on this as well, we're going to start gardening classes. Because we have a site now that we can do it. We'll be doing, for a small fee, you'll get your breakfast, you'll have a gardening class, which will be starting from maybe the second week in January. Every week, every Saturday morning, every Friday, Saturday morning, it'll be starting. And we'll be educating people on, it'll be just off the top of my head, hanging baskets this week, plant grown next week, vegetables, you know, and we'll be bringing in experts in their own field. Like, we'll be bringing in potato growers, we'll be bringing in vegetable growers, and we'll bring in people who commercially sell hanging baskets, all that type of stuff, just to educate people. It's just another part of the jigsaw that we need to do for our customers.
If people want to get in touch with Jones's Garden Centre, you have a website?
We do have a website, www.jonesgc.com, jonesgc.com. We are very active on Facebook. We have Jones Garden Centre on Facebook. Twitter as well, we're at Jones Garden Centre. If you follow Peter, you'll find it. Peter's following us, yeah. And we have also have at Mrs. Jones Farm Kitchen, and we have a Facebook page, Mrs. Jones Farm Kitchen, which every day they put up the menus for the food that's coming that day. Our phone number is 01840 1781, email admin@jonesgc.com. so that's all our contact details. I say we're very accessible for anybody in Dublin, because M50, M1, exit 4 off the M1.
Okay, we'll have all of the links, all the show notes up on sideshow.com. We're going ahead for a song of the week, Brian. It is back to you in the studio. I'll be back talking to Carl just after this one.
And as if by magic, I've been teleported back to the studio. When picking a song of the week on the Sod Show, it's often important to get the pun in. Sometimes you get a double pun, and like in Scrabble, you get double points for that. So have a listen to this double pun. I'm not going to tell you what the song is, but those with really cool smartphones can Shazam this before the end of the song and find out what it is. Talk to you in a bit. And I'm sure Studio Coffee is not as nice as coffee in the cafe at Jones's. 103.2 Dublin City FM, the Sod Show with Brian and Peter. And we'll be going back to Peter in the field in a couple of moments' time. And I'm there too, but they do let me out sometimes. I have to get out of this dark studio every now and again. The song, if you don't have Shazam, is Coffee in the Pot by Supergrass. Double pun on coffee for cafes and Supergrass for landscape gardening. Come on, you have to give me double points in Song of the Week pun scoring system for that, please. If you want to get in touch, it's at Sodshow on Twitter, The Sodshow on Facebook, and sodshow.com for the website. info@sodshow.com if you want to email us, info@sodshow.com. Let's go back to Peter in Newbridge.
103.2 Dublin City FM and still Ireland's best podcast, still in my company, Carl Jones. Carl, when you were growing up, and I know I've jested about myself on the show before and cycling up to Newlands Cross on my grifter and bags of compost on my bike and growing plants under my bed. Katrina, hello, how are you? I know you're laughing at this one in the background. But when everybody else was off playing football, were you, no, I have to help mom and dad with the thing? Was there a bit of that? And the point I'm making this is that I know there are dads and moms who I speak to and say they would say, oh, I would love if little Sean got involved in this. And I think you can try and get a son to do it, but you can't make him love it. It either sticks or it kind of doesn't. Is that fair?
Yeah, when I was growing up, I suppose, I wanted to play a lot. I was mad for football. Still am. Big into the Dubs. I wanted to play, and I did play an awful lot of football. But my dad was not into it at all. He did not want me playing football. I remember getting hurt and playing football, and he'd be giving out that I couldn't work the couple of weeks after that, and it always happened. But how did I get into it? I did not know a pansy from a primrose when I was growing plants, or when I was growing vegetables. That's all I wanted was to do was grow vegetables, because we could grow a product, we could do it well, we had a market for it, and then I fell into it. But you don't belong when you need to earn money to keep your family going. You don't belong a lot going into it. Did we ever sit down and have meetings about what we're going to do? Yeah, we did, plenty of it. But we probably fell into it, you know. But now it's just so serious about our business. Like, we diversifying where we started off this conversation, Peter, we now sell a lot of garden furniture, a lot of barbecues. We would be Weber, which is the world's best brand of barbecue. We would have the largest display of Weber barbecues and the largest stock holding of Weber barbecues in Dublin. And we do very, very well out of it. Our guys are all trained Weber experts. So they trained how to cook, how to sell barbecues, and what are the good points and the bad points about it. We also would stock a lot of garden furniture, which goes well with our business, because then again, the sausage with the sizzle, everything, it all goes together. That area that is in will then change to a seasonal Christmas shop, to a Halloween shop. So it evolves. We're back into spring, into furniture again in these areas. But the other areas of gardens, we will have plants 12 months a year. But look, we're in it now, we're in it for the long haul, Peter. It's been good to us in that we've evolved, but anything we've got out of it, we've put straight back into it, you know. And I say my dad is still involved per se. He's retired a good while now, but he's still involved. He's in the centre every day, he's speaking to people, he's talking to people, you know, which is, he enjoys it, you know.
Bring me back to the winter of 2010, the winter that started in September and lasted all the way through till March. And I noted irregularly on the show, but we'd minus 18 on Christmas Day, minus 18 Celsius. How tough of a year was that? And I'm gathering that it's probably on the incline. I was talking to a barbecue rep, sales rep, about 2 years ago, and I said to him, how many prime number, as in 1, 3, 5, did you sell that year, and was it in those figures? And the gist of it seemed to be, yeah. And again, this year I'm talking to butchers, and I'm talking to, you know, the garden centre guys, and they're saying to me, barbecues, are you joking me? Couldn't keep charcoal on the shelves. It was absolutely, has it come good this year? Has it leveled out? Was it difficult?
Barbecues, we're selling more and more barbecues every year, and I think even in the wintertime, we'll sell barbecues in the winter. We'll sell charcoal in the winter, because there are barbecues enthusiasts out there. Weber, the brand that we major in, is the world's best brand of barbecues. They have blogs, they have websites, you know, they do all the work that people can sit and talk to each other about barbecues, about what they cooked and how much they cooked it and what they did and all that. The winter, that winter 2010, we were undergoing our big development that year. You remember seeing the area. We had to take down our old centre. We put up a temporary centre, another part of the car park. We were building. So it was probably good enough. If you wanted to have a winter like that, it would be that year, because we were in transition. We didn't have a big stock holding and that. I mean, now we did very well with Christmas trees and that type of year. I actually cooked my turkey outside on a Weber barbecue in December, on the 25th of December 2010. It was -7 or -8 during the day, and my Weber barbecue cooked a Christmas turkey outside that day. My daughter Kate is here. She'll verify that, right or wrong?
Yeah.
What did it taste like?
Yummy.
We have found that our business has grown in barbecues over the year, and it's over the years. I think it's mainly down to our staff, with our knowledge of our staff, because our staff are so well trained that we can talk to people about barbecues. We can tell real life experiences of what we've done, and it helps people. And once people feel comfortable in buying, like, everybody can buy a barbecue across the internet, but you're not going to get real life stories. You can't touch it, you can't feel it. That's why we do. Some businesses will just, some people will just, and people come into us all the time, this is cheaper on the internet, that's cheaper on the internet. They sit and talk to our guys, then they get the feel-good factor, and they have the belief and the faith in the product then once they talk to our guys, and they buy the barbecue of us. They will pay. It's not that we're much dear, but you will always get people, but you can't touch it, you can't feel it, that type of stuff.
Did you ever sell a tree to a woman in 1984 when you were 16 years of age, and she's come back into 20 something, I'm being polite here, 12 years later,
yeah, no,
and complained about it, or well, said, hey, by the way, you told me that was going to do that and it grew 2 foot taller. Did you ever get that?
We do get bits of that, yeah, we do get bits of people. We weren't selling trees in 1984, but certainly in 1994, 95, yeah, we were.
The customer is always right, and the interviewee is always right.
Yeah, look, you will get that. You will always get some of that. People aren't happy. We're nothing without our customers. Our customers are the most important people to us, so we have to make sure our customers are happy. That's why with our trained staff, Peter, you know yourself, you've done your landscaping, you go in, you talk to people, you're trying to sell them what you think is good for their garden. You have to try and make them. So we always tell people, if you have an issue with something, take a picture. Everybody, not everybody, a lot of people have smartphones, most people have email. Bang us off a picture, show us what's wrong, show us what's wrong. But we'll try and advise them if they haven't, like if people have bought them, if we advise something wrong, which I'd be hoping doesn't happen, yeah, we'll, of course we stand up and say that. But it doesn't, look at, yeah, you get people, this tree grew and you'd be afraid of it uprooting walls and all that type of stuff. But a lot of the trees we would sell would be for the urban gardens, that they don't have big rootstocks and they don't have big roots. That's what we do. If people want, if somebody comes in that has 100 acres and wants to fill up with trees, yeah, we look after them too. But a lot of the stuff we would sell would be for urban gardens and that type of stuff.
Has it changed in that one, Carl? Because we, again, to go back to the noughties, we did hit that period where people, every garden that was almost requested from me was, you know, it has to be low maintenance, it had to be no maintenance, it was nearly, you know, I want tarmac at them, but I also want things to grow in it, but I don't want to have to do anything with them, and you know, there's somebody in kind of cleaning the windows. And again, it seems to have turned back, and people are into growing your own and into crochet and into knitting jumpers again, and it's all of these crazes and crafts are starting to take off. Are we still at the bit where it's, I want low maintenance fruiting trees, but at the same token I want to look like I'm growing my own?
Yeah, There's an awful lot of that out there. People want basically what their neighbours have and better. They want the best that they can get without having to do an awful lot of work. A lot of people, because of their mortgage and that, are having to work two jobs and work hard. They haven't got the time for doing this, but we try and help them as much as we can, Peter, with the best solution for them. A lot of people, we're finding that people, especially with the Grow Your Own, have done more research on it now, so they know what they're looking for. We get people coming in looking for specific varieties and stuff, specific types of plants, this type of thing, and we try and source them. We try and sell about 85 to 90% of our plants are Irish grown plants. We have to source foreign for the rest of the other 10%. Italy and Holland would be the two prime examples because of people looking for plants that we can't get in Ireland. That's the only reason we go abroad, is because we can't get them in Ireland. You look around us here today, Peter, everything you see here is being grown in Wexford by a grower called Jim O'Connor. Excellent grower, one of our top growers. We see with people coming in now, as I say, somebody is doing a project for the garden, they want, mostly 90% of the customers want low maintenance, but you will get the people come in who know their plants, who don't care about the work they have to do. But you will, obviously, the more, it's like anything, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. If you work hard at your plants, if you work hard at your ground, I remember watching Dermot O'Neill's program on television, and he said that it took him a year, that garden in Clandeglass, the first year he got that garden, he cleaned it out, and it took him a year to get the soil right. We're trying to get that across to people. You have to get the ground right. Your plants will just not grow in anything at all. A lot of people coming to us, we have to educate them on what to do with the ground and how to look after plants. But feeding, watering, regular watering, irregular watering is as bad as no watering. Mm. You know, plants die. We do get a certain amount of plants back. People don't dry them. People don't, or sorry, don't water them. They dry out. It doesn't happen. But we, like, that's what we're there for. That's what the business we're in, is we have to educate people on what they do, you know. Like a simple, your summer hanging baskets, we sell hundreds of them every year, thousands of them every year. A litre of water a day, feed once a week. Simple as, it doesn't get simpler than that. But people tend to go away on holidays, if they see it's raining, they don't get that it rains in this little spot. It lashes rain, that's grand, my plants are wet, don't have to water them. You know the dry summer we have because you're a professional. You know the dry summer we had, you see how dry it is and what plants need. You know, plants are living things, they're like humans, you know, they just they need care and attention and food and water.
They do. Break this down to me. You're in the garden centre customer retail industry all of your growing and adult now life. Mm-hmm. I have a brother-in-law who works in the hotel catering industry, restaurant industry. And I know Des would always say to me that he never gets a Friday night off, he never has a Saturday night off. His day off, maybe a Monday day or a Tuesday day, and then he's back into work. He's never off on Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve. In the garden centre industry, your holidays, I'm gathering, are the same as mine. They're the first 2 weeks of January, somewhere in and around about.
Totally disagree with you there. I'm living on site. I'm born around the same house that I'm living in now. My dad and mam, Lord of Mercy, moved around the corner, so I'm living now with my family on site. We actually buy our Christmas. January 2013, we were buying Christmas that we will sell December 2013. That's January, February. So we're actually very, very busy because we have to take down our Christmas shop, whatever we've left out of it. We have to take all the stuff out of the, in January, February, take all the Christmas and Halloween, well, we know Halloween probably, but all the Christmas stuff out, get all our spring stuff in. So we're very, very busy. We also have to do a number of buying trips abroad to buy this product coming in. Then you go in, March is the kickoff. If we get a good March, we're very busy. March, April, May, June, July, planting seasons. So generally August, we tend to get a little bit of a dip in August, and I try and get my holidays then because we're into September now. We're down here at this show, which is a new show for us, the new time for us now, but we're not that busy now. But the kids are back to school, the restaurant was quiet during the summertime. It's getting very busy now because the mammies in the morning drop the kids to school, they come into us, we get a lot of business people coming in for lunch. October, November, setting up for Christmas. December, one of our busiest months with the Christmas, because we do Irish grown Christmas trees as well, grown by Joe Downey, Forest Fresh Christmas Trees down in County Wicklow. Wicklow and Wexford and Tipperary is where he has his farms. So we're busy at that.
But Sunday, Saturday would be stereotypically your busiest day. So what's your Saturday, Sunday?
What's my Saturday, Sunday?
Yeah.
As in,
is it a Monday, Tuesday in reality?
Reality, no. It's just something it's what you do, Peter. You know, we're over Saturday, Sunday would be our busiest days. Look, we've great staff. We've excellent staff around us. And I do tend to get some time. But I try to open up every morning or most mornings, because I think it's good to be the face of it, and your staff get to recognise that if you're up first, they'll be in, you know. And we don't have a high turnover in staff. Like, we say, Paul, who's with us since 1994, Glenn outside there has been with us 7 or 8 years. You know, we've Eva around the same time as well. We did have a chap, George, who was great with the customers. George was with us 15 years before he retired, so we don't have a high throughput of staff. And my dad and myself would talk about this very regularly, about how you look after your staff. And like, we're nothing without our staff. Nothing. Nothing without our customers either, Peter.
And also the Sideshow.
Credit for credit's due, P. Credit for credit's due.
Excellent. Carl Jones, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. I'll have all of the links for Jones's Garden Centre up on sideshow.com. Do make it your business to go out and visit the place, ask for Carl, and tell him you're listening to the show, and have a cup of coffee. You will not find a better cuppa out the north side of the county.
And I can definitely concur with that. The best cup of coffee. 103.2 Dublin City FM. This has been The Sod Show. We're back next Friday at 3 p.m. with thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out at greensacks.ie. Until next Friday at 3, thanks for listening. Take care. Goodbye.